You're like fruit. And the Lord said, my soul desireth the first ripe fruit. Now here's what he said. My soul desires you to be like fruit that is just ripened, just ready to eat, the most desirous of all, the first ripe fruit. Every person in this house tonight, every one of us, is either in God's sight, green fruit, ripe fruit, or rotten fruit. I like fruit. I eat it a lot. I like fruit. In fact, I just before I came in this service tonight, after the fellows had left, I sent the fellows down the alley to send the choir on in, and I grabbed me an orange right quick and peeled it and stuck it in my juicer and juiced me some nice fresh orange juice. But I found four oranges first that were rotten. The other day I decided, what's wrong with a rotten orange? It'll still juice. And I found out, it stinks. It stinks. And I was embarrassed. Everybody that came to my office the rest of the day, I was embarrassed because my office smelled like rotten oranges. Dr. Billings had been in. I had to throw away tonight four. And when I did, beautiful oranges. Beautiful. But each one had a little spot on it about that big around that caused it to be rotten. And if I had peeled it, it would have stunk. And so I had to throw it. Why? Because it was rotten fruit. Didn't do me a bit of good. It was rotten fruit. Now, on the other hand, the same thing is true of the green orange. Bananas, for example, also often green. Not worth anything. They're hard to eat. And as the Indian said, I like bananas, but the cob's too big. You'll get that after a while. Fruit. It's either green, ripe, rotten. Now the Lord says that His people are like fruit. That means that each of us is either green, ripe, or rotten. Got to stop and say this, by the way, by parenthesis. A lot of you would have a lot less colds, and I'm not going to get off on it tonight. I know you hate me when I do this, and I hate you when I do it too, but I'm not going to get off on it tonight. But a lot of you would have a lot less colds and miss working a lot less if you'd eat more fruit. I mean good, fresh fruit. But you say grapes are too high. You check my grape bill versus your doctor bill and see which is the most. Now, our boys and girls need to be taught that fruit's better than Hershey bars. That bananas are better than Butterfingers. And that apples are better than Snickers. And the truth is, the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, is not far from wrong. Enough of that. Aren't you glad? Bunch of four F's. But to say the least, God likens us to fruit. Now, since there are only three kinds of fruit, only three kinds, green, ripe, and rotten, then you are one of those three. Well, how can I know which one I am? Well, let's describe each of the kinds, and let's see which one you are. Would you like to just look at it for a few minutes, and let's see which fruit you are. Let's look at green fruit in the first place. In the first place, green fruit is bitter. Green fruit is bitter. The other day, somebody sent me some pears. Now, not the ones the paradises send me every year. Boy, those are great. But somebody sent me some pears. None of you folks would do this, but somebody somewhere else, no joke, out of state, sent me some pears. And I love pears. Now, a real soft pear you can't juice. It'll come out, about the texture of a thick milkshake, and it'll just sort of, out. But a pear that is just barely, you can push it in just a little bit, it will make delicious juice. There is not much juice is better than pear juice. Anybody had any pear juice? Well, you'll agree, pear juice is hard to beat. In fact, what's the comedian's name in Chicago? Gregory? Dick Gregory. Only thing I like about him is he does know how to take care of his body. And, to my chagrin. But anyway, he does know how to take care of his body. And he's been on a fast, and all he's been having, basically, is pear juice. That's all he's had for about a month, just pear juice. The other day I decided, now these pears should be good, and so I juiced me some green pears. And this been like this ever since. And Anybody here ever eaten any green persimmons? Anybody? Oh, good. I didn't know you knew what persimmons were.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. You're eating a green persimmon. But I drank the green pear juice. And this isn't all that got upset either. This got upset too.
And I was sick. I mean, boy, I had it. I wish I'd never preached about juice being good for you. I wanted to curse God and die. I felt terrible. Why? Green. Green is bitter. I can tell you whether you are green or a ripe fruit or not of God. Do you get bitter? Do you have a bitter spirit? You know, there's one thing about a person when he's immature and green, and that is this. He gets converted, and he finds out what's right and what's wrong. So what does he do? He quits his drinking, and he ought to. He quits his smoking, and he ought to. He quits his dancing, and he ought to. He quits his movies, and he ought to. Not a single Christian ought to participate in one of those things. But what happens is this. Before you know it, he gets to where he's bitter against people that don't quit everything he's quit. I know people in this church who for 20 years tapered off and finally quit smoking. I'm thinking about a few fellows right now. Let's see, who was it? Who quit smoking here? Some fellow, he wanted to taper off, so he cut them in half, smoked them half at a time for a while. And you ought not to do those things. But I know people that for 20 years smoked, and finally they quit. And now, since they quit, they're bitter at everybody that doesn't do exactly like they do. No patience. Bitter spirit. No response to the service. Have a bitter attitude. Feeling toward people. Unkind feeling and mad at people. Then you're green fruit. Green fruit is bitter. Something else about green fruit, and that is green fruit is proud. Sometimes, look if you would at the green corn. It holds its head erect. When the corn gets ripe, it begins to droop and its branches become heavy with fruit. Green is proud. Oh, I'm proud of myself. I thank God I'm perfect and getting better all the time. Pride is green fruit. God can't use a proud person. You want to know whether somebody's proud or not? Find out if God uses them. Now, you and I don't know if they're proud. We have a wrong sense of humility. For example, did you know the average person, and I say this honestly and sincerely, the average person would never think of Robert Billings as being humble. But the truth is, I think he has Bible humility. Pride, what we call pride, what God calls pride, is different. But one thing for dead sure, a person who has pride, you know whether you're proud or not, you know whether you're boastful or not, you know whether you exalt yourself or not, you know whether you interpret everything on the basis of how it treats you, affects you or not, you know whether you get mad or not when folks don't speak to you, you know whether you hold bitterness in your heart or not, you know whether you're proud of yourself or not, you know whether you walk humbly before God or not. If you're proud, then you're green fruit. Something else about it. Green fruit is hard. Green fruit is hard. You can always tell if fruit is ripe. It's soft. You take a peach, for example, and you want to find out if the peach is ready to eat. What do? You push on it. If it gives a little bit, not too. If your finger goes all the way through, forget it. Somebody else been eating from the inside, but. Push on it. If it gives, if it's hard, it's green. A green fruit is always hard. I know whether you're green fruit in God's sight or not. Are you hard? Do you have a hard heart? Are you not affected? When you come to church and the preacher preaches and you say, that's not for me. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you came down the aisle and knelt at the altar on a Sunday evening? How long has it been since you got convicted about something you're doing wrong? Or do you stand and say, that's for others? Are you hard? Have a hard... How long has it been since you shed a tear in church? Green fruit is hard fruit. Doesn't amount to much. Nobody wants any green fruit. By the way, one of the things that I think is cursing this country is the fact that we're sending fruit ahead green, letting it ripe off the vine. Vine-ripened fruit is almost a necessity for good health. They because of our urbanized society, we pluck the full of bananas while they're green and they ripen on the grocery shelf. We send the oranges from Florida. You ought to see the oranges as they pluck them. Anybody here ever seen them pull oranges in Florida? You know how they are. And they, what do? They put artificial coloring to make them look orange. In fact, did you know it's against the law for oranges to cross the state line without being artificially colored? And what happens is this. We pluck them too soon. They're green. They're not as good. Micah said, as God led him, "My soul desireth the first ripe fruit." God wants ripe fruit. God wants Christians who are not hard, Christians who are not bitter. I better watch it. How are you affected? Have you grown hard with the passing of the years? Have you gotten over it? Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when the invitation on Sunday morning is conducted and people come streaming down these aisles to receive Christ as Savior? How do you feel? Is there a beat, faster beat in your heart? Is there a delight and a thrill? Do you say, "Blessed be God, the power of God is still here"? Do you say, "Praise the Lord, God's blessing is still here"? You know, one of the things that I have to do over and over again is keep people always on the job, always with it. I say to the choir, "Sing louder, choir, sing louder." Every invitation ought to be just like the invitation the first time, the biggest time. Listen, every day ought to be like the 19th of December. We ought to give our very best. Nobody gives anything but his best. Every Sunday is best. Always, never unprepared. Never let our hearts get to where we think, we've seen it before. Oh, that's one of the problems about most of us. We've heard the preachers preach on the cross, so we don't cry anymore. I ask God to never let me preach on the cross without tears. I ask God to never let me preach on hell. I don't preach on hell very much. It takes me... This is the truth. This is the honest truth. One night I preached on hell in this pulpit. I preached on, "Is there a hell?" from this pulpit. And I got so burdened in the message and so wrapped up in it, and my heart broke. No joke, my heart broke. Until when I went out in the alley, I couldn't find my way to the office. And I walked, and this has been several years ago, I walked down the alley trying to find what door to go in. When I went home, I couldn't find my way to the closet. I was so burdened, completely consumed about the matter of hell and the fact that maybe flesh of my flesh may be there tonight. And my heart was broken about it. In fact, I'm afraid to preach on hell. Doctor, I preached on hell last Tuesday night in Indianapolis, and I prayed 2 hours almost before I preached. God, don't, please let me keep my equilibrium tonight. Don't let me get too wrapped up in it. Let me find a way back to my room. And why? Most of us, we can hear about hell and the fact that people in hell now are burning. Is that rich man still there burning? Is he still crying for Lazarus to bring water and dip the tip of his finger in water and give him a drop of water to cool his tongue? Is that rich man still crying for Lazarus to go tell his five brothers? Is he after 2,000 years burning in hell? Is it true? And yet we can hear about it, never get affected. Go home, go to sleep at night, never toss and tumble. I can't preach on hell and sleep at night. I don't like to preach on hell. I'm afraid to. I'm afraid I can't sleep. I'm afraid that I'll get wrapped up in it. And I'm afraid that I'll get so... Why? Because I never want to think about a place where people burn and cry and beg and fall and cry for mercy and nail and gnash their teeth and gnaw their tongues in pain and burn and scream and cry forever and ever and ever. I never want to get used to that without something going through my heart and saying, "Oh my God, let us tell folks about it." How do you feel? Are you hardened to the same old messages? Are you hardened to the cross? Are you hardened to the love of God? When the preacher preaches on something, do you say, "Oh God, speak to my heart, let me respond, convict me"? If not, you're green fruit. You're green fruit. Green fruit is proud. Green fruit is bitter. Green fruit is hard. Green fruit is sickening. Ain't not a one of us here but what hadn't gotten in a green pear orchard when we were kids. Could I confess a sin? Mother remembers this as sure as it was yesterday. I'm sure she does. We lived on Exeter Street, E-X-E-T-E-R. I went to Lisbon Elementary School. I had to come down Ann Arbor, just like the town of Michigan, Ann Arbor Street to get home. There was a house on Ann Arbor and Fernwood on the northeast corner of the street that had the prettiest orchard you ever saw in your life. Beautiful. And I came by that place one day and saw these pears and peaches growing. And I looked at them and I said, "I believe I could reach one through the fence." had one of these fences that had wire about that big square, you know, and you could reach your arm. I said, obviously I could reach one through the fence. And so the next day I came by, and my buddy's with me, and he said, reckon we could reach one of those? By the way, we had some pecans, too. And I said, don't know, but I said, that'd be wrong. He said, it wouldn't be wrong if we kept our feet outside the fence. And, well, I said, sounds okay to me. He said, now what if one fell on our side of the fence? Would that be wrong? He said, it's okay to get anything that you can reach with your feet on the outside. And so the next day we came by, and there's about a half a dozen of us boys, and we decided we'd try to keep our feet on the outside and reach in and see what we can get. But my arms were short. I was a little runt. And so a fellow said, here, let me just hold on to you. And so I crawled up on top of the fence, and the fellow grabbed on, and he got up like this and held on to my feet like that, and I leaned down head first. And man alive, I got some green pears and green peaches. You didn't know you had a pastor like this, did you? And so to me, it's a sin to do that. They ought to wait till they get ripe before you steal them. But anyway, I got them, and just about the time I got them, a lady said, hold it, you fellas! Hold it! I'll call the police! When he said that, guess what the boy holding on to my feet did? You guessed it. And I fell flat on my face inside the orchard, and there I was. Couldn't crawl out, couldn't get out. Here came the lady, before long the police came. Only two of us got caught. And, oh, I just knew. The state penitentiary in Texas is in Huntsville. And I could see myself working on the rock pile and saying goodbye to my mother and with a record and wearing a striped outfit. And so they came. And the lady said, here they are! Here they are! They got my fruit! By the way, I had been eating upside down. And I'd eaten a couple of pears and a couple of peaches, and they were green. And so the police were there, and the lady said, here they are, what you going to do to them? You got to punish them? And the policeman started laughing. he said, it won't be necessary. She said, why? He said, in a couple of hours, they'll be punished. He said, if you felt these peaches and these pears, they're all green. Believe me, in a couple of hours, the penitentiary would have been a relief. A real relief. I was sicker than a horse. I'll tell you, I've never been so sick in my life. Why? Because green fruit is sickening. It's sickening to God, too. Are you bitter? That's sickening to God. Are you hard? That's sickening to God. And the prophet said, my soul desireth. And by the way, the word soul there means my whole being. And the word desireth means it pleads for, it longs for. And God says, I long for my children to be the first ripe fruit. You want your children to be bitter? Parents come to me and they say, Pastor, what can I do? My boys fight all the time. That's what the Lord says. I'm not pleased when my children fight. I'm not pleased when my children hold bitterness. I'm not pleased when my children talk about each other. I'm not pleased when my children are critical. I'm not pleased when my children don't respond. I'm not pleased when my children can't weep. I'm not pleased when my children don't respond. I'm not pleased when my children can't be moved with the gospel. I'm not pleased when my children have no delight and no shout and no lilt and no tears and no burden. That's one of the great dangers of being in this business. I have preached for 15 years, 3.5 sermons a day for 15 years. And if it's one prayer I pray is, dear God, keep me pliable and soft all the time. Well, that's green fruit. Let me ask you a question. Are you green? You say, how do I know if I'm green? Do you hold bitterness against anybody? If so, you're green fruit. Are you hard? Do you have bitterness? Then you're green fruit. Let me ask you a question. Are you responsive to the invitation? Is your heart pliable? Do you apply the message to yourself? Then you're green fruit. Now, conversely so, let's look at ripe fruit. Ripe fruit is soft, tender. Ripe fruit is easily pierced or made soft. A ripe pear has just a little give. It's soft. A ripe peach has just a little give. It's soft. Ripe fruit is soft. Let me ask you a question. Is your heart soft to the preaching of the gospel? Do you still weep when the cross is mentioned and rejoice when salvation is mentioned? Do you still delight when you think about the graves opening and the dead in Christ rising? Is there a shout and a rejoicing in your heart when you think that someday, it could be today, Jesus is going to come and the dead shall rise and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air? Do you still get excited like a football player waiting for the Super Bowl when you stop and realize that someday we're going to go to heaven in a city built four square whose builder and ruler is God, with gates of pearl and streets of gold where the sun never goes down and where nobody ever is ever sick and nobody ever dies? Does that make you happy? Does that make you rejoice? Are you soft? Suppose you're driving down the street and you see one of our church members. What do you do? Time and time again, I drive down the street and see one of you, and I'll say to myself, God bless him. He's such a good guy. Feel warm all over. You see somebody you know. How do you feel when you come to church? Do you say with the psalmist, as a heart panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God. Picture the heart. Thirsty. Been running from the hunters all day. The hunters have been trying to take him as prey, and the heart runs and runs and runs, and finally escapes the arrows of the hunter. And then suddenly he's thirsty and he pants and he tries to find a brook, and finally he finds a water brook and gets a drink. And the Bible says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God. Are you soft? Are you tender? I was down with Dr. Ford Porter this last week, and I preached, and Dr. Porter got all shook up and all broken up, and he began to cry. And I said, isn't that sweet? Man, 79 years of age, and his heart's as tender as can be. Ripe fruit is soft. Something else about ripe fruit. Ripe fruit is sweet. Are you bitter or are you sweet? Lady asked me last night, said, what can you do for somebody bitter at the world? What can you do for somebody bitter? Let me ask you a question. Are you sweet? Are you kind? Do you have understanding? Do you have love in your heart? I guess, and girls, I'd like you to join us too. I guess the older I get, I guess the more to me, the joy, and this sounds like I'm a good Christian, and I'm not a good Christian. I don't want to sound like it. I hate folks that sound like good Christians. But the older I get, I was thinking last night when I went home, I guess there's nothing quite in this world quite like helping somebody. I don't think. Well, yesterday, at least eight people who came to my office yesterday, and I had more folks who came, but at least eight promised me they would avert a tragedy because of the counsel and advice I gave them. Some were adults, some were children. Here's a person going to marry an unsaved lady. Just about to do it. And I pleaded and pleaded for him not to do it. And he promised me he wouldn't. And there is a tragedy averted. And I thought last night as I went home late, you know, there's nothing quite like that. I'd like for God to keep me wanting to help people. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. God, let me live for others that I may live like thee. Let me ask you a question. You mad at somebody? You had a falling out with somebody? Won't speak to somebody? Somebody's name is mentioned and you fly apart? Is that the way you are? You in trouble? You're green fruit. You're not ripe fruit. Are you forgiving? Are you tender? Do you seek forgiveness? If folks don't forgive you, you go ahead and forgive them. Do you bless those that curse you? Do you love those that hate you? Are you good to those that despitefully use you? Do you pray for those that would curse you? Do you bless those and do good to those that would do harm to you? Huh? I can tell you how mature you are by how you treat those who treat you wrongly. How you treat those who curse you. Man alive, you wouldn't, I said Wednesday night, you wouldn't believe my mail. You just wouldn't believe my mail. One lady wrote the other day, she read my book on Satan's bid for your child. And in that book, I said, get your kids in a Christian school. Get them in a Christian school. I said, if you've got to get mow yards, make extra money, do it. I said, if you can't have good food to eat, go and put them in a Christian school. I said, if you can't do anything else, I said, do like Mother used to do. Send your boy down to the store and get a soup bone for the dog. and make some soup out of the dog soup bone and send your kid to a Christian school. And I said, after you do that, kill the dog. Eat the dog if you have to, but send your kid to a Christian school. And all the good things in that book, this lady wrote me, and she said, cancel all of my mail from now on. I'll never pass out a thing for you. I don't want anything to do with your ministry at all. She said, I'm going to start passing out Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne stuff. She said, it was repulsive to think about eating a dog. Isn't that something? And, oh, you'd be surprised. She said, I'm glad I found out about you. I mean, I suggested that you eat a dog. Well, then, boy, she never had been as hungry as we were at my house. I'll tell you what, boy, a good Cocker Spaniel, medium well. Mama and I have seen the day. I recall one day Daddy ran over a rabbit. It was delicious. But what I'm trying to say is, that's what folks get mad at me for. I can't even write a book and be funny without somebody getting mad at me. And she let me have it. She underlined. She let me have it in no uncertain terms. Fellow wrote me the other day. Got it last week. He said, I went to your church. Why? He said, you talked about wrong hair. He said, very idea. You ought to confess your own sins. Very idea. Having a fellow break rocks on a platform at church with karate. And by the way, I'm simply saying, you know, when I was a younger preacher, oh boy, you should see some of the letters I wrote back. Man alive, boy. The only thing I've written near a nasty letter was the other day when I wrote back this lady that wrote me about this dog. She said, I'll never pass out anything of yours as long as I live. I'll pass out Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne stuff. And I wrote her, and I said, dear lady, thank you very much for your unwillingness to pass out my literature. Sincerely. I mean, I didn't tell her this, but I didn't want ladies like that passing out my literature. But I said, I appreciate it very much. But I can recall, and I used to let them have it. You talk about an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. Man, I got two eyes for one. And I recall one time, Phil wrote me a letter, and he said, I want to think about you. He said, you remind me of Balaam's jackass. That's Balaam's donkey, you know. And I wrote back and I said, thank you, sir. I said, you're riding me. Balaam rode the donkey, and in both cases, the one being ridden had more sense than the rider. Pretty cute, wasn't it? I was green. You say, don't you ever want to do that anymore? Yeah, I won't do it some more, but I don't. Mrs. Boardway will tell you, she types my letters, she'll tell you that this is usually my answer. Thank you for your letter. May God bless you. Do come back to see us. Sincerely. That's about it. I hope I'm riper than I used to be. I hope I'm not green. I hope I don't retaliate like I used to. I hope I don't get bitter like I used to. Talk unkindly like I used to. All right. I want to grow up. I want to be... The Lord said, my soul desireth the first ripe fruit. And I want God to desire me, and I want to please Him. And if I please Him, I must be soft fruit. And I must be sweet fruit. But there's something else. You ever notice that John 15 says we're the branches? Sometimes you find branches. Branches are more beautiful, right, when they bloom. Go sometimes to Atlanta and see the dogwoods as they bloom in the spring. Or see the red buds as they bloom. Or see the peach trees as they bloom. Very pretty, but the branches stick up high and proud. But you let a branch get full of good, wet, fresh, ripe fruit. And that branch begins to droop. No pride there. You know what? The Christian who brings forth fruit begins to get humble. You know why? He knows who gives the fruit. He knows it comes from God. And so what happens is this. As the branches that are proud and haughty and quick to get mad, and I won't speak to him, and I'll have a falling out with him. No, that's green fruit. But when a branch gets to where it's ripe,
The branch begins to droop because it's so heavy with fruit. A soul winner is an humble person because the fruit begins to droop his branches. Let me ask you a question now. Haven't gotten the rotten fruit yet. Are you green fruit or ripe fruit? Hey, kids, do you get mad at school and won't speak to somebody? Or are you forgiving and kind and loving? Hey, moms and dads, do you get mad at people and won't speak and bitter and talk about them and gossip and vindication sets in and your whole hurt feelings? Huh? Is that what you are? Are you green fruit? Or do you have forgiveness and love and kindness and tenderness and softness? Are you ripe fruit? Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I'm green. Okay, all you green folks, all you ripe folks, can sit there and rot for a minute. I want to talk to you green folks. What's the difference? The difference in green fruit and ripe fruit, in the first place, is the inner working of the sap. I don't like to point to myself when I say that. That didn't come out right. The inner working of the sap. You liked that, didn't you? Now, what's the difference? I know what it is. Christ worketh in me both to will and to perform His will. And so the Bible says, as the branch abideth in the tree, we have to abide in Him, walk with Him, live with Him, stay with Him, and let Him work through us. And when He works through us, we no longer work. Christ worketh in us. As the Apostle Paul said, it's not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And so He works through us. Ha! The sap keeps coming and the life-giving agency comes. Listen to me. The reason that you are hard and the reason that you are bitter and the reason that you are green is because you don't let Christ walk through you and live through you and love through you. The second thing that you have to have be ripe is sun. The sun. Did you know what vitamin C basically is? It's sunshine. Vitamin C basically is sunshine. And the orange, that's why the oranges grow in the sunshine places. That's why Florida, Southern California, Southern Texas, Israel, and so forth. That's where your oranges grow. Why? That's where your sun is. You have to have the sun. And if you're going to be ripe for God, the sun of God's love has to shine on you all the time. All the time. The love of Christ. You know one reason? Who was it said to me? Who was it? Oh, I was talking to somebody just recently, in the last couple, 3 days. And he said something very, very brilliant. He said, Pastor, my problem is I'm trying to be just a little better than the average. Let me illustrate. Dr. Mary. I feel like Man Mountain Dean. You know why? I'm comparing myself with a fellow that's 5'7". 5'7". I'm 5'11 and 3/4". I straighten up, I'm 6 foot. Look at there. Huh? I feel like Wilt Chamberlain. Thank you. Right. The other day I was walking down O'Hare Field Terminal to the gate. And I got behind a fella, and I looked at him eye to belt. I felt like Jack and the Beanstalk had just landed up yonder on that, wherever he was. And I kept looking up, looking up, looking up, looking up, looking up. You know who was at the top of that telephone pole? Lou Alcindor. Like, what's his name? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know what? I felt like I ought to go to the nursery. I went to Japan, and I was the tallest fella in the hotel lobby, because all those little runts, Japanese are little. The guy, Russell Anderson's there. Russell Anderson's about your size. And he was there, and a guy came up on the street corner, and he said, you Americans, he said, would you like to have women? And I turned around, and he was about that high, and I got courage. I said, fella, if I catch you, I'm going to hoop. I beat you, beat the tar out of you. And boy, he ran, and he ran, and he ran. And I felt like, really, I felt like the king of the hill. Because I was the biggest guy in the whole, maybe in the whole country. I don't know. I didn't stop and think. They all know karate. But you know why? You know why I felt so good? I was comparing myself to little runts. I get around Howard Paradise. Where are you, Howard? I get around, let's see, find somebody that's here. Mr. Pentecost. I get around Mr. Pentecost. And you know what? I feel like a hippie with all my hair. And I get around Mr. Douglas back there. I feel like, good night, what am I going to do with all this hair? Man alive! And then all of a sudden I compare myself to some of these kids over here that got mops on top of their heads. You know what your trouble is? This fellow said, he said, my trouble is I'm comparing myself with the average Christian. What we ought to do is we ought to say that with Isaiah, mine eyes have seen the Lord. Woe is me, for I am undone, for mine eyes have seen the Lord. Did you know when you compare yourself to him and realize how fall short we fall, then we come, then say to your Lord, let the love of Christ shine through me. Let me ask you a question this evening. Do you have the love of Christ in your heart? You're not going to ripen unless you have sunshine. You're not going to ripen unless you have the vitamin C from the love of Christ. You're not going to ripen unless Christ lives in you and works through you. But there's something else that makes fruit ripen. One, the sap. Two, the sun. Three, moisture. Water, rain, showers, dew. That makes fruit ripen. Check your Bible. You'll find that water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. And so if I'm going to ripen, I must learn to walk with the Holy Spirit. Listen, did you know if you do not know the Holy Spirit and walk with him and talk with him, you can't be ripe. You can't be tender. You can't be soft. You can't be loving. You can't be forgiving. I go from church to church. A fellow called me. In fact, I'm helping a fellow now in a town near here start a church. Why? Bitterness. Strife. People can't get along with each other. Why? Green Christians. Grudges. Fighting in the church. Why? Green Christians. Gossip. Slander. Why? Green Christians. Retaliation. Vindication. Why? Green Christians. The Lord said, I want my people to be the first, like the first ripe fruit, soft and tender and sweet and kind, with sunshine and with the Holy Spirit living through them, and with the abiding in the vine as branches. Now, let's go down to the third. Are you green? You say, no, I'm not green. Okay, are you ripe? You say, well, I don't know. How about, let's check the rotten. Okay, let me tell you something about rotten fruit. Rotten fruit is fruit that's too soft. Too soft. Take a preacher, a preacher who is harsh and mean and never loving and never kind. He's green. But then he begins to soften and love his people and weep when they're in trouble and try to help them and carries their loads and burdens. And then he becomes ripe. What happened? After a while, he gets too soft. His kids can go ahead and girls can wear the miniskirts and get by with it. The boys can wear their long hair and get by with it. The kids can park out in on lonely roads and dark cars and get by with it. And the girls can give their bodies an unholy activity and get by with it. And the boys can place their dirty hands on the bodies of wicked girls and get by with it. And they can drink the liquor and get by with it. And deacons can sip their cocktails and get by with it. And members can go to country clubs and live like heathen and get by with it. What's the matter? Is he ripe? No, he's rotten. That's what's wrong with him. He's too soft. A while ago I got me a pear. I was going to squeeze me some pear juice. And I got me a pear, and I pushed on it, and it was just right. I pushed in just about a quarter of an inch, and that's about as far. And I juiced it, made delicious pear juice. And so I got the next one, decided to push in on it, and I pushed it. And it squirted all over me. And some got in my face, and my hand went way down in the pear, and so forth. What's wrong with that? Too ripe? Too soft? But you know, mothers and dads can become rotten because they think they love their children too much and get too soft on the kids?
Did you know pastors can become rotten because they get too soft? Politicians can become rotten? That's what's wrong with America. America's gotten so soft, she's rotten. Too soft. Parent, the pastor, the president, the law. John 1:14 is a wonderful verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus had grace and He had truth. He was hard and He was soft. He had the right proportion. The Bible says, love that which is good. Abhor or hate that which is evil. And so you get rotten. Something else. Did you know that you can get too sweet? The preacher, the parent, can get too soft. And how does it happen? How does it happen? First place, prematurely ripening. Prematurely ripening. Or premature ripening. Don't you do? Go up sometime to a fruit tree and reach out and grab the fruit, and it's about 30 days before the fruit's supposed to get ripe, and feel, and you find a piece of fruit that's soft too soon. Would you like to know what's caused that? You got a little visitor down in there that's eating on it before you get to it. Somebody said the only thing more discouraging than to find a worm in your apple is to find a half a worm in your apple. I never have found a half worm in an apple, but I found a quarter of one in a peach many times. Many times. A little boy one time went to Sunday school, and the teacher got a worm and put the worm out here, and the worm wiggled around there, and the teacher poured some alcohol down in little glass, and then put that worm in the little glass of alcohol, and the worm just dropped dead, just petrified. And the teacher says, that teach you anything, boys and girls? And the boy says, yes, sir. She, thinking it would teach the boy that you shouldn't drink liquor because it would hurt your stomach, said, what is it, Johnny? He said, that teaches you if you've got worms, drink whiskey because that'll cure them. I'm not sure that's what the preacher had in mind. Well, the teacher had in mind. That means that if fruit is too soft, too soon, probably there's some little unseen thing down underneath that's wiggling its way. Hey, you got anything like that tonight? Huh? You got anything down here I don't see making your life rotten? Huh? How about it, kids? Got anything a preacher doesn't know about? How about it, moms and dads, sons and daughters? How about it, men? How about it, ladies? You got any worms down inside the fruit wiggling the way? Sometime read the 19th Psalm. That's the Psalm when David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. But there's something far, far better than that in that Psalm. In verse 11, David says, cleanse thou me from secret faults, O God. Cleanse thou me from the worms that can't be seen. Cleanse thou me from that little thing down inside my heart that's eating me up, and that little secret thing that's hidden there. And David went on to say, I checked the original one time on that, and what David really said was, cleanse thou me from sins I don't even know about myself. Cleanse thou me from sins I don't even know about myself. David is saying, dear God, tell me things that are wrong I don't know about. Those things, the little worms down inside. You can't see it on the outside. On the outside, it looks like it's good fruit, but it's prematurely ripe. Why? Because some worms are on the inside. But there's a second reason why fruit rots or gets rotten. And that is because it's not used. It's not plucked. It's not used. It's not eaten. Fruit was made to help people. Fruit was made to be plucked when it's freshly ripe and be eaten. Are used for juice, are given to us for health purposes and for us to enjoy. But you let a piece of fruit stay on the tree and stay on the tree and stay on the tree, and after a while it drops off. Why? Because it's not used. Did you know God says you're a piece of fruit? Are you being used? What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? There are people in this room tonight. You're saved. You're no longer green. You don't hold bitterness. You're soft. You're tender. You're sweet. You're not bitter. You're not hard. You're a good Christian. But you have ripened. And now it's time to serve. It's time to get busy for God.